Greetings in peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and preaching. We're continuing to study doctrine in the New Testament, and specifically we're looking at Jesus and doctrine, and we have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at Matthew chapters 5 through 7 concerning Jesus's doctrine or his instruction, his teaching. But here in Matthew chapter 5, looking again specifically at the Beatitudes, we're looking at verse 3 where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We've also mentioned that Luke's account includes not just Jesus's words concerning the poor, but also Jesus's words concerning the rich. And you will find that again in Luke chapter 6. And he speaks of the poor in verse 20, where he says, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And then he speaks of the rich in verse 24, where he says, "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation." So again, this is what we have been studying. We have expanded this study in relation to the teachings or the doctrine throughout the New Testament, but we start with the words of Jesus Christ. So considering what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5 concerning the poor, and then in Luke chapter 6 concerning not just the poor, but also the rich, we have expanded this study and we've looked at the teachings throughout the New Testament concerning the rich and the poor. And as we have taken a look at this, we left off in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus speaks of a certain rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And we read through verses 19 through 31. And I just want to again want to highlight a few things as we prepare to move on to the next part of this expanding this study concerning the rich and the poor, or really the order that is in here, the poor and the rich. So just to highlight again some of what Jesus mentions here in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. You know, I just want to remind us that Jesus gives us the picture here of the rich and the poor, and how important it is for us to understand that there is judgment beyond this life concerning both the rich and the poor. And Jesus certainly has pity and mercy on the poor, and this is why he proclaims this promise concerning the poor, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or theirs is the kingdom of God. But as I've stated before, and I will continue to remind us of this, it's not as if this doesn't require faith on the part of the poor. And this is what we're working toward in the first chapter of James. And that's sort of the direction we're heading in, where we then see the emphasis on faith in this regard. So as we move again through Luke chapter 16 here, just highlighting a few things before we move on from here, it's important to understand that there is judgment for both the rich and the poor. And in this case, Jesus speaks of the comfort that Lazarus receives, and he speaks of the torment that the rich man receives. And this is afterwards, as the scripture says here, the beggar died, and it also says the rich man also died. But the outcome is different for both. They both died, but then what happens after that is different for both. There's now the rich man finds himself in torment. Grieving is really what is communicated here. And the words that are used have to really do with the rich man hitting bottom, literally hitting bottom. So the place that he finds himself in is the bottom. And not only the bottom, but the bottom is a place of grief and sorrow. And it is also a place where he mentions the flame or the blaze, the fire. And again, it's easy to come to this conclusion based on wishful thinking that everybody goes to heaven, and especially the rich. And this is what is really changing the way that, or maybe I should say challenging the way that people have thought. And I'm speaking of those who identify themselves as God's people in this context. So Jesus is really presenting the singular truth that has been misunderstood, and that is that those who are rich automatically go to heaven, and their riches are evidence that they have favor with God, when in actuality, it is just the opposite in the way that it is communicated here in the scriptures. And again, I know that some people feel that this means that there's nobody rich going to heaven, and I'm certainly not communicating that, but as I've said before, I'm just communicating what Jesus said. And Jesus said that, it's going to be rare and few. And you can chalk that up as a Guy Thompson translation. But I assure you that this is what Jesus has communicated, and it's consistently communicated in the scripture and in the teachings that we find in the New Testament. So as we look again and just sort of hit the high points before we move on. From Luke chapter 16, the torment and the flame that are described by the rich man in verse 24, and then Abraham's response to him. In the word again that I want to call your attention to, the words have to do again with the rich man in verse 25 in his lifetime receiving good things and Lazarus evil things. But now in verse 25, it says Lazarus is comforted, and the rich man is tormented. So he, again, finds himself in grief or sorrow. And Lazarus finds himself comforted. So as we communicate this message, or really as we consider the message that Jesus has communicated concerning the poor and also concerning the rich, but, you know, the emphasis here being on the blessing or the promise to the poor, it's easy to lose sight of this reality because we put so much into this life, into here and now. And again, this is the great challenge for the poor, and not just for the poor, but for those who are determined to rectify all things in this life, when really that's not the answer. The answer for all things in this life and the life to come is in Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's the question? The question is, whatever the question is, it is the answer to everything is found in Jesus. Whether it's social injustice, whether it's hatred, racism, whether it's war, whether it's the exploitation of the poor, whether it's the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor, whether it is the political divide, whatever it is, the answer is Jesus. So if we can move more toward being satisfied with Jesus, this is the contentment that gives us strength in this life, no matter what our standing is. And we're going to find again that there is accountability for both the rich and the poor. The poor don't get a pass, and the rich don't get a pass. Everybody has to answer to Jesus, and he has given instruction concerning both. So again, consider the outcome. And what you find in this passage, or what you don't find in this passage, is everybody going to heaven. That is just not happening. That's a figment of man's imagination. And a bad time to be disillusioned is after you die. So if we look again at some of the points of emphasis here that I like to highlight, is as we move down to verses 27 through 31, again, we find the desire of the rich man for Lazarus to go back to his father's house, the rich man's father's house. And Abraham, again, speaks of Moses and the prophets for them to hear. And the point that I want to make here is that we it's still a matter of the word. Even in the Old Testament, it was a matter of the word. In the New Testament, it's a matter of the word. Everything is focused on what God has said or what God says and how man responds. And again, rich people don't get a pass from being accountable to what God says, no more than the world does. And sometimes that's what brings people to this false sense of security. And that is, they think because they ignore the word of God or the warnings of God, that somehow their thinking is going to be justified in the outcome, when in actuality, they're just confirming that the outcome is going to work against them because they've hardened their hearts against the word of God. So again, as we consider this, we still have to realize or not lose sight of the fact that this is somebody who knew better and who knows better. He knew better because now he's dead. So in other words, he has died and he has now gone on. So that's a double death, if you will. He knew better in that sense because the word had been communicated to him as part of the children of God or the sons of Abraham. So he knew this because he's speaking. The conversation has to do with Moses and the prophets. So this has been communicated concerning the rich and the poor and concerning what God requires, what God expects of his people. So we go back to the accountability for the church, for the people of God, in terms of what our responsibility is to the poor among God's people, first and foremost. So that's something that we've got to understand. This is not to be confused with irresponsible living or people who try to impose upon the church this responsibility to take care of them when in actuality they have family or they want to live a life where they are living irresponsibly, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it women, be it men, whatever the case may be. But however that irresponsibility is manifested, that does not put the church on the hook to take care of everybody who's poor just because the church is the church, okay? And just because the poor are the poor. That's very much misunderstood. And I think that we have done a poor job addressing that because we think that God has called us to be a social service organization rather than a spiritual institution with the words of life. And the words of life will get you... will get you into the kingdom of heaven when nothing that this world has to offer, all that will perish in this world, will do nothing for getting you into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But God tells us with what we have, we are to share, and we have that responsibility. In this case, the rich man did not, and now we see the judgment that follows. But the point of emphasis again here, as we're closing out here in Luke chapter 16, the point of emphasis has to do with this word, this message, and the desire for the rich man who has now died and finds himself in torment, asking that Lazarus would go to his father's house. And the point here is on the word, hearing what is taught, hearing what God has said through Moses and the prophets. And Abraham's response is... these words that are used here have to do with hearing what Moses and the prophets have said, what is taught concerning Moses and the prophets. And then in verse 30, where the rich man responds, but if one went unto them to them from the dead, they will repent. And again, this word repentance is an important word because, again, that suggests that they have the same mindset or at least they're in a state where they find themselves content with how they are living, which is contrary to God. And so, it appears that this extends beyond the rich man who we're focused on to the rich family, to his father's house, and the mindset that prevails or that is pervasive in the household. So this seems to be the trend here, and this seems to be the mindset because he uses the word repent here, which is, again, to turn or to reconsider, to think differently. And the way that this rich man treated Lazarus, it appears that to some extent that this seems to be a household problem, or it seems to be a family problem. And he is asking that that Lazarus would go and declare to them this truth so that they will repent. But again, Abraham says, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets in verse 31, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And that's prophetic in itself, because we could again take that to Jesus Christ. But for the time being, just leaving it in this immediate context, it's important to understand this persuasion that Abraham speaks of here in verse 31, or that Jesus teaches concerning the words of Abraham in responding to the rich man, you know, that they will, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So this persuasion, this repentance, this hearing, Moses and the prophets, all of these things work hand in hand when it comes to the message that is communicated. And in this case, concerning the rich and the poor, it is a state of mind. It is the approach that the rich take and the approach that the poor man or the beggar Lazarus in this case took. You know, Lazarus was a son of God, obviously. But the rich man saw himself above Lazarus, and he treated Lazarus accordingly. And what we find out is the outcome is the judgment. And that's what I really want to call your attention to. So as we wrap that up and now move on to Luke chapter 19, once again, considering the teaching here in the New Testament, Jesus and doctrine, and then the New Testament teaching concerning the rich and the poor. We started out with Jesus's words in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes, the Beatitude where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And now just looking at some more of Jesus's teaching in relation to the rich and the poor. So Luke chapter 16 is where we just looked. And now we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, looking at Zacchaeus. And it says here in the King James, it says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So here in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we see the opposite of what took place with the rich man in Luke chapter 16. We have the rich man, a certain rich man, and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. We looked at verses 19 through 31. We see the outcome. We see the conversation that takes place after death. And then we look at here in Luke chapter 19, and we see the life that is offered to a rich man. And this rich man is identified. So in Luke chapter 16, the poor man is identified by name. In Luke chapter 19, the rich man is identified by name. And here we see in the significance of the names as well. In Luke chapter 16, Lazarus is the Old Testament name is Eleazar, which is God is helper, or God my helper, or God is my helper, or God has helped. And this is the meaning of Lazarus's name. And here in Luke chapter 19, the meaning of Zacchaeus's name is pure or transparent. And that's what we find in Zacchaeus in this description here in Luke chapter 19. We find that he is transparent when he stands up and he communicates to Jesus really what he has done and what he will do. This is a sign of repentance. So just looking again at this, and it's really interesting when we look at these words, again, looking at Jesus and doctrine, specifically doctrine in the New Testament concerning the rich and the poor, based on Jesus's teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, concerning the poor and the kingdom of heaven. And then as Jesus again also teaches on this in Luke chapter 6 concerning both the rich, or the poor and the rich. So here, this example of Jesus again, as it relates to the rich and the poor, because the poor are mentioned here in Luke chapter 19, it's important for us to see what's really interesting here is that Zacchaeus went to seek Jesus, to see Jesus. And then in the end, we see that Jesus actually sought Zacchaeus. It's the beauty of Jesus Christ among, in addition to all the beauty of Jesus, this is just a small picture of his beauty. That's what I'm trying to say, because his beauty is beyond description. But just thinking of this, Zacchaeus went to seek Jesus. He desired to see Jesus, who he was, when in actuality, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Oh, that is such, it's a beautiful love story. And it's a beautiful love story concerning Jesus Christ and Zacchaeus. So looking at this again, the rich and the poor is what I don't want us to lose sight of in the midst of this. And this is how Zacchaeus is described in verse 2, that he's described as a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. This is the description of him. You know, he was the head among the tax collectors, and he was rich. He was wealthy. And it speaks of him seeking Jesus in verse 3. It's the same word that Jesus uses at the end in verse 10. So again, Zacchaeus went to seek Jesus, to see Jesus, who he was, when in actuality, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. But it says again concerning Zacchaeus being rich and a tax collector. Remember, he is a Jew. So this is a double whammy. And not only that, but he's a chief tax collector. And he got rich through exploitation and extortion. He's going to confess that. And as we look at verse 4, Zacchaeus goes up into the sycamore tree as Jesus was to pass that way. And then Jesus came and he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and told Zacchaeus to make haste. It's to come down speedily, for I am going to stay at your house. So just think of this. This is a man who is despised by the Jews. And here Jesus is calling him down. And Jesus says, it is necessary for me to abide at your house, to come to your house and to stay. So this is, this is the beauty of God's grace and his love and his compassion and his pity. So Zacchaeus made haste and he came down, and look at what it says. He received him joyfully. He received Jesus cheerfully. So he has cheer now. He went from being interested, if you will, to now being cheerful because Jesus has called him down to come, for Jesus to come to Zacchaeus' house. So now Zacchaeus has gone from a distant observer in a tree to a host of the Savior. And then again, remember, he's a rich man. This is what we're focusing on. And then in verse 6, after he came down cheerfully, when the others saw it, they murmured. And this is what happens, okay? They murmured because Jesus was going to be a guest with a man who's a sinner, an offender. okay, an extortionist, a tax collector, oppressing God's people as one who claims to be one of God's people. So here, that's his reputation, and his reputation is rightfully earned. This is who he is. He is a sinner. He is one who has missed the mark, which means that he is not qualified for the prize because he is missing the mark. He has missed the mark. He is missing the mark. He has offended God, and therefore he is not qualified for the prize. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, I press toward the mark. See, he's pressing to hit the mark. He is competing, if you will, according to the rules. He understands what it takes to apprehend the prize. And he says that's only in Jesus Christ, not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. So this is what Zacchaeus is experiencing. Now, he is a sinner. He is one who's not qualified for the prize because he has missed the mark. And therefore, he is heading for destruction, but Jesus comes as his savior, even though Zacchaeus didn't know this. And now Jesus is going to proclaim this. So as Zacchaeus stood, he says to Jesus in verse 8, he says unto the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. But he says, behold. So that means he's going to give evidence. He's going to give evidence of what he's saying he's going to do. Folks, this is repentance. This is a change of mind. This is a change of heart. And a change of heart is a change of mind. So this is manifested in his actions after Jesus comes to his house. And remember, Jesus was passing through as it related to the town. But Jesus wasn't passing through Zacchaeus' house. He was coming to stay for a while. So that's what he did. And this is the transforming power of Jesus Christ just in his presence, because he is the word of truth. He is the word of life. He is the word of God. So Zacchaeus then speaks of the half of his goods because he knows. And then he says he gives it to the poor. Here's the rich and the poor. See this repentance. See what he's doing. And then he says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. So he's going to give back more than he took because he did it through extortion. He did it through, he did it dishonestly. So then in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. So this day, the salvation, the rescue, the deliverance has come to the house of Zacchaeus. Who is this? What is this? This is Jesus Christ coming with salvation. This is what Jesus brings. Jesus brings salvation. Salvation is found in Christ. That's why the scripture says in Acts, as Peter says, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he says before that, neither is salvation found in any other, only in Jesus. So this salvation is in Jesus, and he comes to Zacchaeus' house. This is the rich man who is changed. In Luke chapter 16, this rich man didn't change, and the beggar received the compassion of God. Here, the rich man is receiving the compassion of God. He changes. He has a change of heart, a change of mind. And Jesus says he's a son of Abraham. He knows better. But now he has done better because Jesus has brought salvation to him. And then in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek. Remember, that's the same word that's used concerning Zacchaeus in verse 3 here in Luke chapter 19. To seek and to save that which was lost, that which was perishing, that which was to be destroyed. Jesus delivers him from the destruction, from the ruin, from perishing. So this is the rich and the poor, but we see a different picture here in Luke chapter 19 than we do or we did in Luke chapter 16 concerning the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. Here, Zacchaeus is saved by Jesus Christ, and Zacchaeus manifests repentance concerning the poor. So that's where we're going to stop today. I hope this is helpful to you, and I look forward, Lord willing, once again to continuing this study as we work our way to James, the first chapter concerning the rich, and the poor. And this we will do if the Lord permits. Until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.